Would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15? All around us, Christmas is being celebrated. In stores, it is common to hear incredibly theologically rich Christmas songs heralding the glories of God and His great grace in sending His only Son into the world. Have you been shocked, as I have, as you have found yourself in those settings and you wonder, I wonder if the person who put this song on knows what it says? I wonder if any people in the store who work in the store know what these words mean. Those truths, many of them fall on deaf ears to those who don't know Jesus in a saving way. Christmas time, without truly knowing the Lord, is a Christmas devoid of real hope, joy, and peace. The world seeks to find hope in wishful thinking, desired outcomes. They seek to find hope in their circumstances. They seek to find joy and peace from people and material possessions. None of these can provide any lasting, genuine joy and peace. Well, this is not God's design for the believer. God's blueprint for abounding in hope for a believer is articulated well by the Apostle Paul in a letter to the church in Rome. Found in a section where Paul is calling both Jewish and Gentile believers to find their hope in Christ and His proven character, we find this incredible benediction. Romans 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In our brief time together in this devotion, a mere 55 minutes, just kidding, I'm not going to be able to go to too many verses in great detail and expound them. Hopefully, as we look at this text, the simplicity of it will be profoundly helpful to you. Either for an entire course correction or a reminder to continue doing what you are doing by God's grace and in so doing abound in hope. The simple points from this section is an exhortation. The exhortation is those seeking hope, joy, and peace will only truly find it, number one, in God. Building on that idea, number two, in the God of the Scriptures. And building on that idea, number three, in the God of the Scriptures who keeps His promises and saves His people. Let's look at the verse again, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Look at the verse. Notice Paul draws out the truth that God is the source of hope. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. This is a simple truth for the believer and one that seems to evade the world. Even believers who know that God is the source of hope need to be reminded that that God is the source of hope. This is a very basic truth, but we can easily lose sight of it. Throughout the entire The entirety of Scripture, God reveals that He is indeed the God of hope. In humanity's darkest hour, the fall of man, seemingly without hope, having sinned for the first time and broken the fellowship between God and man, there is hope introduced into the equation. Genesis 3, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Often referred to as the proto-evangelium, two simple Latin words meaning the first good news or the first gospel. God introduces to man this promise of a Savior, one who would come and crush the head of the serpent, one who would come and solve the sin problem that separates sinful man from holy God. God introduces hope in a hopeless situation and demonstrates that He is the God of hope. Moving right through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, one theme that we see is hope. Hope found in the promises of God, found in the provision of the God of hope. The very pinnacle of that hope is first, that first good news, the seed of the woman that will crush the serpent's head. Paul draws a focus on Jesus, that seed, that promised one, that very first hope in the hopeless situation of mankind. And he expresses it very clearly beginning in verse 1 in Romans chapter 15. He says this: "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his own good to build him up." Now remember, Paul is dealing with Jewish and Gentile believers, and he is drawing their hope and their focus on Christ, who is the only hope for either group. And in verse 3, he says, "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches on those who reproached you fell on me.'" That provision for their hope, whether they be Jew or Gentile. Verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Once again, drawing that attention to Christ, that is the pinnacle of the hope that God dispenses into the hopeless situation of sinful humanity. Verse 8, this is incredible. "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised," that's Jews, "to show God's truthfulness, and in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs," that is the leaders of the chosen people of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And here's the kicker. Verse 9, "And in order that Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." Whoa. You mean we can't just like check out when someone's reading the Old Testament? No. No, we can't just check out when somebody's reading the Old Testament. And what we also need to do is we need to make sure we don't do is we can't rob it of its original meaning. That God demonstrates that he has provided a servant to the circumcised, that he has confirmed the promises to the patriarchs, is for our benefit to look and say, God has been faithful to his covenant people. And that bolsters our faith. That encourages us and demonstrates that God is the God of truth and God is faithful. God is faithful. So when you look at a verse like Jeremiah 29:11 and want to write it on birthday cards, that God has a hope and a plan for you, just remember that while that may be true, it's not from that verse. Because that verse demonstrates God's faithfulness, and he was actually faithful to the nation of Israel, and that demonstrates his character, that we can trust him. And the pinnacle of his faithfulness is coming. Paul goes into the Old Testament, and he demonstrates God's faithfulness, that God is the God of hope. Look as verse 9 continues, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. This comes at the end of David's life. Imagine all that David went through, all that God saw David through. In verse 1 of 2 Samuel 22, he says this, and David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. You see, God preserved David. Why? To preserve the line of David so that you and I, believer, might have a Messiah, might be able to believe on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the culmination of that, look, is what David says in verse 50 of 2 Samuel, which is where this Old Testament text comes from. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Like, take notice, Gentiles. God has been faithful. He is faithful. So you can trust him. Continuing in verse 10. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Once again, Jew and Gentile being drawn in to focus on the faithfulness of God. This comes at the end of Moses' life. And he takes it as an occasion to demonstrate God's faithfulness to Moses and the chosen people of God. God is faithful. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people. Why? Because he is faithful. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all peoples extol him. Psalm 117. Verse 12, and again Isaiah says, and here it is, the pinnacle of God's promise. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Who is being talked about? Well, we have a commentary in the New Testament, a sermon from the Apostle Paul, and this is what he says in Acts 13, beginning in verse 21, kind of outlining this faithfulness of God beginning in the Old Testament with the chosen people of God moving forward and culminating in the person of Jesus Christ. Acts 13, verse 21, he says, then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, there it is, the root of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he has promised. This is the culmination of God's faithfulness to his chosen people and moving forward and culminating into his faithfulness demonstrated to all who would come to believe, both Jew and Gentile, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is the background for verse 13. May the God of hope, he's always been the God of hope. He entered into that hopeless situation in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed and broke the fellowship between holy God and man. And he presented hope that the seed of the woman, the promised seed of the woman, will crush the serpent's head. The Messiah would come. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing what? In believing God. In believing what God has said about himself in the scriptures. In believing God and what he has said, not only about himself, but what he has promised to do. That he is faithful to not only preserve his chosen people, but also to make that provision for the root of Jesse, the son of Jesse, David, that would move forward to be the son of David, Jesus Christ. That is the culmination of our worship. Are you abounding in hope this Christmas? What or who are you looking to for hope this Christmas? Is it presents? Just the right presents? Maybe you're hoping for just that right present. Maybe you're disappointed that you weren't able to provide just the right present. Is your hope in the people that will be assembled in your gathering? Is your hope, or maybe your lack of hope, in the reality of the people that aren't in your gathering? That's a reality for many of us. If that is where you are seeking to find hope, I promise you will come up short. Now, Paul reminds us that God is the source of that hope. God himself is the source of that hope. And he has demonstrated that he is trustworthy and faithful to the chosen people of God over and over and over throughout history. And you can actually look in Scripture and see God's demonstrated faithfulness. And in the Scriptures, find hope. Abound in hope, actually. Because we could study this for the rest of our years and never come to the end of God's demonstrated faithfulness, that he is the God of hope. Are you looking to Christ? God's pinnacle demonstration of his faithfulness, that he is the God of hope, that he provides all necessary payment for you to have hope, for you to know that your sins are paid for. Are you looking to Christ? Look to God who is faithful even when you are not, because he is the God of hope. We look to the scriptures that reveal God's truthfulness to follow through with his covenant promises to his chosen people. Look to Christ, the root of Jesse, who satisfied the wrath of God through his perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection, and provides salvation and reconciliation for all who believe. Christmas should be a time for the believer to be reminded, to look to the God of all hope for the joy and peace that comes from believing, trusting in God and his faithfulness, in his proven character, in his demonstrated faithfulness. Looking to the scriptures and all the scriptures reveal about who God is and what he has done. This is the source of hope. Believer, you know this. If you're a believer here this evening and you have struggled to have God be the focus of your hope, you know this, and you hear this and say, amen, that's right. I need to hear that. If you're not a believer tonight, you may be hearing these words and thinking that they don't make sense. Let me ask you, how is your pursuit of hope? What does it look like? And I promise you that a believer who struggles with hope, who yet is trusting in the person and work of Christ, will die and wake up in eternity face to face with their Lord that they have trusted in. Though feeble and wobbly their faith was, they will pass from this life to the next and be face to face with their Lord. For you, if you have hope in this life, in the things of this life, unbeliever, that is the only hope that you have. If you pass from this life to the next, having hope in this world and the things of this world only, there only remains for you a fearful expectation and a raging fire which will consume the adversaries. Abandon hope in yourself. Abandon hope in the world. Abandon hope in this life. And look to the God of hope who has demonstrated his faithfulness to not only his chosen people, but to provide a Savior who has come. Would you turn to him and place your faith in the sure rock, the sure hope, not yourself, but the God of the Scriptures, who has demonstrated that he is faithful. He is the God of hope. That is your only hope, to abound in hope that you see in the scriptures that will transcend this life and move you into eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the God of all hope. We thank you that by your grace in granting repentance and the gift of faith to believe in Christ, that we can have joy and peace and abound in hope, not centered on ourselves, not centered on our circumstances, but centered on you, on your faithfulness, on your proven character, on who you are. Thank you for the scriptures that unfold and reveal not only who you are, but what you have done, and the culmination of what you have done is manifested in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon the author and perfecter of our faith, to look to Christ and remember that that is where our hope is found. Lord, help us to do that even in the coming hours of Christmas. There may be temptations to lose sight and draw hope from other places, convict us, to keep our eyes on you, to draw hope from the source of all hope. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, your character, and your worth. Thank you for Christ. May he be extolled in our hearts this Christmas for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen.